All right, here we go. Come on. The greatest is what? Love. Amen. Now listen, this deal right here, come on, we got to be into it. We got to get up. Y'all ready? Y'all listening? Say. All right, this is it. Last message in the little series on the book of Song of Solomon. The Song of Solomon is written by King Solomon. And it's the most misunderstood, misread book in the entire Bible. Okay? The reason being, it's poetry. There's three voices in this book talking. So it's poetry, number one. Number two, there's three different speakers. Number three, it's not in order. Like, poetry's like that. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? So, very difficult. And then, it talks about the subject of romantic love. Well, you know, come on. It's just crazy. So, lots of different things that are going negative in this, going against this book for people to study it. But anyway, it's a book on romantic love. It's in the Word of God. And so, listen, we want to make an effort at it. Amen? And that's what we've done. And I've taught this a few times over my years in the ministry. But it's always different when I look at it. And this time was incredibly different because where I'm at in my life. And so I'm doing this to help me, but to help us all so we can grow in love. Amen? So here we go. Message number four. Today, we got a Band-Aid. The testing of what? Love. The testing of what? Now, last week was the wedding and the honeymoon. We showed how God, in His Word, gives the ingredients for a great honeymoon. And so we talked about it last week. And you can put that to work, keeping the honeymoon in your marriage. But wait a minute. Wait a minute. The testing of love. What happens, say it with me, when the what? When the honeymoon's what? What happens then? What happens when there's trouble? Now, we're staying inside the book of Song of Solomon. We could give a lot of scripture and advice all over the place, but we're going to stay right in the book of Song of Solomon, stay right in this poem, this poetry, and see what we can find. So here we go. We're rolling. A great verse. You should memorize it. You should write it down. It should be huge in your life. Many waters cannot quench love. Neither can the floods drown it. Say that with me. Many waters cannot quench love. Neither can the floods drown it. One more time, church, we're going to learn it. Many waters cannot quench love. Neither can the floods. How many think you got it? One more time. Many waters cannot quench love. Neither can the floods drown it. So what happens when there's problems? Well, wait a minute. Many waters can't quench love. Neither can the floods drown it. Need to remember that. Y'all hearing me? Let's go with the message. A couple of scriptures we've been using just to encourage us. Love suffers long and is kind. 1 Corinthians. Love envies not. Love vaunts not itself. It's not puffed up. Love does not behave itself unseemly. Seeks not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinks no evil. Love rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love, say it with me, never fails. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. But love never fails. And now abides faith, hope, and love, these three, say it with me, but the greatest of these is love. Okay? Let's go now with the message. Love never fails. So what does? What do you do when things get rough? Love never fails, but it sure gets what? Love gets tested. What do you do? How can I get some help? What can Song of Solomon teach me? How can I learn today? What happens when the honeymoon is over? This has been an incredible love story. We found how they met and found this old farm girl who was on a farm that the king owned a lot of land. And he goes out and he goes and checks on one of his farms. He's not dressed as king. He's sort of incognito, in disguise, and sees this darkly tanned woman in the field whose brothers make her get out there and work all the time. And back in that day, it was good to be really white and pasty looking and put powder all over your head and everything like that. Well, she didn't have that kind of life. Life had been tough for her, and she is out there in the field tanned. But she was beautiful, and the king saw her.
She didn't know he was king.
And so the Song of Solomon, I believe, though there's different beliefs about the book because it's poetry and can be taken a few different ways, but I think the basic way is the best way when you're looking at Scripture. And so they meet and they fall in love. And we've talked about that, about how they met. And we've talked about the language of love, how love needs to be talked and communicated. Then last week we talked about the wedding, how they got married, spent most of the time on romantic love and physical love. And now today, the honeymoon is what?
Over.
Here we go. Back to the book of Song of Solomon. Don't go to sleep on me. You don't want to sleep on this one. This is one you don't want to sleep on. And this is good, not just for marriage, just good for relationships. All relationships can benefit if you'll pay attention. 5:2, remember, this book is a book of what? Poetry. Keep that in mind. I sleep, but my heart wakes. It's the voice of my beloved knocking, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. For my head is filled with dew, and my locks with the drops of the night. So let's look at it. What are we learning, first of all? Solomon arrives home when? Say it with me. Y'all got to wake up. Come on. Solomon arrives home what? Late. It's late. Okay? He does have a demanding schedule. He is the what? King. This is some of my beliefs. And when you study a book like this, you got to insert that if we're going to make sense of it. I believe he had every intention of being on time. I don't believe he was trying to slight her in any way. Okay? It does not appear anything like that in the book at all or to be a part of who he is. Number 3, the door to the bedroom is what? Shut and what? He calls to his bride, my darling, my love, my perfect wife. Does it sound like a guy who's ticked off or anything like that? No. No, 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 no. My darling, my love, my perfect wife. Bottom line is, she was what? She's half asleep. That's what the Scripture says. She is half what? Asleep. How you do when you half asleep? Amen? Come on. So that's the setting here. Y'all with me so far? Y'all want to quit or see what she says? You'll see what happens here. Come on, I got to see this. Scripture. I have put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I've washed my feet. How shall I defile them? He knocks. The door is what? She's half what? She acts what? Say it with me a little louder. She acts what? Selfishly. We're talking about the testing of love. She said, I've already gone to bed. I got my PJs on. Alright? I've already washed my feet. We got Mona Lisa and curlers there for you this morning. Alright? Listen. Okay? So, I've already gone to bed. I got my PJs on. I've already washed my feet. She's acting what? Selfishly. The testing of love. You should notice when we say some things this morning, it should ring true with you and me and the way we act sometimes. Does this sound like the same bride that I've been talking about the other 3 weeks? Yes or no? Doesn't sound like it at all, does it? Doesn't sound like the same person whatsoever. The way she loves him, the way she talks to him, the way she speaks of him. So this tells me then this happens. It can, and life has told me this because I'm old now. But anyway, but if I was young, I'd go, well, it must happen. Well, it does happen. Okay? Doesn't sound like the same bride at all. Let's keep looking. She refuses him flat out. Flat out! No! Okay? Keep looking. Now, God put this part in the story for a reason. This part is in the story for a reason, I believe, and that's to help us, that's to teach us, that's to help us learn. Now, she's being petty. And she has become what? So we see selfish, We see petty. We see indifferent. Is this helpful to a relationship? Yes or no? Say, is it good for a relationship when you're selfish, petty, and indifferent? Yes or no? No, and that's what she's being. Is she awesome? Is she incredible? Absolutely. So we can't put her down like she's not awesome and incredible and is a great lover and she's fantastic. All that good stuff. Bottom line is, you be selfish, you start being petty and indifferent, you're going to have some problems. That's what we're learning. The honeymoon's over. Okay? It happens. And that's what's happened here. Okay? The testing of love. So we've made it so far. How are we doing? Doing pretty good. Is everybody with me? Everybody understands the Bible this morning. Okay, got it. Here we go. Here we go. Verse 4. My beloved put his hand by the hole of the door. Undoubtedly, don't forget now, this is a beautiful place the king has prepared for the bride and himself. And so undoubtedly, the door, and from antiquity and historically speaking, we can look back and see things like this was the case. There might be a carved out spot in the door where a gift could be left. Something sweet, something nice. So, my beloved put his, or something could pass through or lay, or you'll see what happens in the story. My beloved put his hand by the hole of the door. I don't like this old English. My bowels were moved for him. So anyway, she's inside. She's being selfish. She's being petty. She's in bed. Got the PJs on. Washed her feet. All that. She's being selfish. But she can see his hand by the door, through that hole in the door. And the idea is that she was just moved. Her heart was moved for him. That's the word. Her heart was moved for him. And the thing is, says, I defile them. Here's this heart inside of her that's leaping inside of her for love, but she defiles the feeling that's rushing inside of her because of her selfishness. Because of her pettiness and because of her indifference, she's not acting upon those good feelings inside of her. Did that make sense? She saw his hand by the hole in the door. Keep looking. When she saw it, she wanted to be with him. But she waited. She did not get up. She did not let him know what she was feeling inside. Okay? So she's being now what? So she was at first what? Selfish, petty, indifferent, and now she's being what? Stubborn. That's what happens in relationship. It can. It does. Selfishness, then you're what? You're going to dig your heels in, aren't you? So you're going to go and dig your heels in. That's what happens here. Is she an awesome person? Yes or no? Sure she is. You can't make it think, well, she's bad and I'm good. No, because you're just as bad as she is. And I'm just as bad as she is. And I'm just as prone to do that. Her stubbornness trumped what she was feeling. And stubbornness will do that. It will trump what you're feeling inside, what you know you need to do. But I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. No, I'm not going to let him know I feel that way. I'm not going to let her know I feel that way, that I really care about it. I want to get up from this bed. No, because stubbornness will trump that. And that's what happened. At least for the moment, and say that with me, that's usually all it. One more time. That's usually all it what? Turn a molehill into a mountain. Turn something little into something big. All right? Y'all look like, some of you look like you've been shot. Are y'all okay? Come on. Here we go. We're learning here. Verse 5. I rose up to open to my beloved. So she gets up. And my hands dropped with myrrh or perfume. My fingers with sweet-smelling perfume upon the handle of the lock. She got out of bed. She went to the door. Solomon had left perfume on the handle and the lock. She smells the fragrance on her hands. Wonder what she's thinking now. The testing of love. I opened to my beloved. But my beloved had withdrawn himself. He was gone. my soul failed when he spoke. I sought him, but I couldn't find him. I called out, but he wasn't there. She responded, but it was too late. When we're selfish, when we're stubborn and become indifferent to the one we love, say it with me, it what? Hurts. It hurts. Did she bring it on herself? This story could be flipped. This is not a story against women. It's a story for us to learn. Amen? In relationship. And it hurts. It has a bad effect. This is not going to be good. We do that sometimes. We'll be stubborn. Selfish and stubborn to get our way, because we're going to get our way and we think it's going to really be a good thing. And it has a bad effect. It's never good to be selfish and stubborn with the one you say you love. Say that with me. It's never good to be selfish and stubborn to the one you say you love. It's never good to be selfish and stubborn to the one you say you love. It has a bad effect. Solomon had withdrawn himself. She called out for him, but he's gone. Why did it happen? Why did this happen? Couple of thoughts. She took him for granted. She took him for granted. Honeymoon's over. We do that, don't we? Take each other for what? Now, what I'm saying is this is great for marriage, for sure, but this is good in other relationships. We shouldn't take each other for granted. Guys, we shouldn't take Fellowship Church for granted. Are y'all listening? Yes or no? You know, it's so easy. The Bible says, don't compare yourselves among yourselves. You're not wise. You know, when we do it, you ought to be thankful. And I ought to be thankful that I have a place to worship and we've got each other to worship with. We ought not take each other for granted, listening or not. This is good for all of us. She did not consider his feelings, but only her own. It's late. I'm disappointed. He wasn't home early. Went in and put my PJs on. Washed my feet. Sorry. Just her own feelings. Her selfishness led to digging those feet in. Stubbornness, which led to what? Sorrow. Now she's feeling sorry for what she's done. Let's keep looking. There are consequences in our relationship when we act this way. We just can't treat the people we're married to like crap. Are y'all listening? Say, well, they're just married, so they'll just always be there. They'll just always forgive because that's the way they are. That's a horrible way to think. Is that true or what? No. Selfishness and stubbornness toward the one we say we love is sad. And it's going to bring a lot of problems. Usually both parties, when this happens, usually when there's the selfishness and there's the stubbornness, usually both parties take a beating, not just the one. Is she taking a beating right now? Can you feel something's coming down the pike that she's feeling a little bit bad now? Yes or no? You think Solomon's feeling real great about the whole deal. Somebody tell me what you think he might be thinking. So usually when this happens, both parties take a beating. In relationship, both parties are going to take a beating when we are selfish and when we're stubborn and, quite frankly, when we're stupid. Okay? This is a poem. I want you to see how it reads now. So this has happened. She's feeling sad. She smells a... Where is he? He's gone. The watchman that went about the city found me. So metaphorically speaking, she goes out in the city streets looking for him. They smote me. They wounded me. The keepers of the walls took away my veil from me. What's that saying? Keep in mind, it's poetry. Keep in mind that when we act this way in relationship, both parties take a what? A beating. Look at this. She went looking for him in the streets. She was apprehended by the police. That's what it says. What you going to do? What you going to do when they come for you? You know what I'm saying? It actually says here that she was what? Beaten. They took the veil from her face and they went, uh-oh, it's the queen. That's a day you did what? I want to be on a police force. Guys, this is a poem. This whole thing is about poetry and it's about God leading, God helping us in relationship. The point I think that's being made here is that she acted this way and she took a beating for it. Not literally. And he took a beating for it, not literally. Sometimes the worst beatings you can ever take are those emotional beatings where you're just being hurt so bad, so scarred. And this was a great couple. You couldn't have had a better couple. Everything was positive, positive, positive. So this should be a warning to all of us. Amen? Keep looking. Even the king or the queen's marriage takes a beating when the attitude of indifference sets in. I'd like for us to say that together. Even the king or queen's marriage takes a beating when the attitude of indifference sets in. One more time. Even the king or the queen's marriage takes a... when the attitude of... when the honeymoon's over. Amen? Let's keep looking. Verse 8. Now she's speaking. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, that you tell him that I'm sick of love. Does it mean that she's sick of him? It's that old English again, that she is just so full of love and her heart is just sick and she feels terrible and she loves him so much and she's just aching inside. She's back at the palace. She's seeking help from the daughters of Jerusalem now. We've seen them before. She says, tell him I'm sorry. Please. They ask the question, what is your beloved more than another beloved? O thou fairest among women, why is thy beloved more than another beloved that thou dost so charge us? Why is he so special? They ask that question to her. She finally starts then what? Say it with me. Thinking of who? And not... she starts thinking of... and not... one more time. She starts thinking of... and not... herself. That's good. That's good. Hey, when these problems come in a relationship, when that honeymoon's over, when you're struggling, good advice right there. Start thinking of the other person more than you're thinking of yourself. Is that good advice in relationship flat out? Yes or no? It's just good advice. So she says, she answers their question, why is he so special? And she responds, my beloved is white. You've got to remember this old English, though. My beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. His head is as the most fine gold. His locks are bushy and black as a raven. His eyes are as the eyes of doves by the rivers of waters, washed with milk and fitly set. His cheeks are as of a bed of spices, as sweet as a sweet flower. His lips like lilies dropping sweet-smelling myrrh. Was she thinking that when she was laying in the bed a little while ago? His hands are as gold rings set with the beryl. His belly is as bright ivory overlaid with sapphires. Man, he was in good shape. Anyway, his legs are as pillars of marble set upon sockets of fine gold. His countenance is as Lebanon, excellent as the cedars. That meant something to her. Remember, that's where she's from. She loved that more than anything. Boy, she couldn't have higher thoughts of this guy. His mouth is most sweet, yea, he's altogether lovely. This is my beloved, say it with me, and this is my friend. O daughters of Jerusalem. Wow. What did she say? He's kind, he's delightful, he's handsome, he's wonderful to me. He's my lover. He's my best friend. Wow. Well, what's going to happen? Okay? You know what I think she was thinking? How could I be so what? So and so. How many can relate with me and say, you felt that exact same way before? Can I see your hand in relationships? Yes, yes, yes. So we can relate to this whole stuff, right? So I think God knew what he was doing when he put it in the Bible, right? Say, he's got to look into it. Hopefully over the last few weeks we've been able to help you. Now you can read through that thing occasionally and read it and just, I know it's poetry, but I know the Lord's going to speak to you. The testing of love. Where is he gone, the daughters ask. Where is he? Okay, help me. Where is he gone, the daughters ask. We're going to take a break. We'll get those cell phones off. It's really hard to communicate. Here we go. We're working on it. I do it all the time myself. Where is he gone, the daughters ask. Where is your beloved gone, O thou fairest among women? Where is your beloved turned aside that we may seek him with you? Where do you think he is? The bride says, I know where he is. Isn't it funny when we're stubborn, when we're selfish, when we're being stupid? I mean, we just don't think right, do we? We just lose our thinking, we lose our way. And now she's thinking right again. She's responding to that love inside that she feels. Her mind's engaged again. She's seeing what she's done. And now, as she couldn't find him, oh, now she knows where he is. And by the way, guys, that's just good advice for all of us. Get back to what's good. Get back to what's good. Get back to where you know what I'm saying? Those good things in your life, those wonderful things you remember about each other, who you really are, what have you. That's who you are. Get back there. Okay? She started getting back there. She remembered some things. She remembered where he was. Listen, it's poetry, but keep in mind, that's poetry, but it's helping us. My beloved has gone down into his garden, to the beds of spices, to feed in the gardens and to gather lilies. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. He feeds among the lilies. Now I want you to listen. We're almost done with the message. Listen to how Solomon speaks to her when she comes to him. Was she stubborn to him? Was she selfish? Was she mean? Absolutely. Was she wrong? Absolutely. What happens when the honeymoon's over? We learn these are not good things that we should do, but we do it. But what if it's been done to you? How do you respond? He speaks. She finds him. You're beautiful, oh my love. As Tirzah, comely as, the word comely is beautiful, as Jerusalem. Terrible as an army with banners. That's a good word. That's a good thing he's saying. Turn away your eyes from me, for they've overcome me. Your hair is a flock of goats. There he uses that same line again. In the day, it was like, oh, that appear from Gilead. Look at it. Your teeth are as a flock of sheep. I told you before. Come on. Which go up from the washing. He's complimenting how beautiful her teeth are and how white they are. Whereof every one of them bears twins. You got all of them. They look great. I mean, come on. Think of some other stuff, but this is the way it worked then. Okay, here we go. There's not one that is not there. All right. As a piece of pomegranate are your temples within your locks. You're just so beautiful. Your face and your head. There are 70 queens. There are 40 concubines and virgins without number. But my dove, my undefiled, is but one. You are the only one of her mother. She's the choice one of her that bare her. The daughters saw her and blessed her. Yea, the queens and the concubines, and they praised her. Who is she that looks forth as the morning, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as an army with banners? What did he say? Let's put in some plain English. Here we go. He receives her without what? Wow. He receives her without what? Boy. What happens when somebody in a relationship is selfish and stubborn and stupid and they feel bad about it? Should we punish them? If they're truly sorry, say, shouldn't be punishing them either way, but the bottom line is,
If somebody's not sorry, it's hard to fix. You listening to me? But if they are sorry and they come back to their senses, he's the king. Man, he could have had her probably killed, right? He didn't even rebuke her. He restores communication. What do we do so often? We're going to then, since they were this way, we're going to give them the blank treatment. What's the word? I'm sorry, I got my PJs on. I'm sorry, I washed my feet. You see what I'm saying? Oh, yeah. No, that's not what God's Word's saying. He doesn't rebuke her. He restores communication. And look at this one. Look at this one. He reminds her of how much she means to him. Wow. How do you think that made her feel? Oh, loved, loved, loved. Okay? We're done with the message. That's what we saw. The honeymoon was over. The test came. How did they go through that test? How did they respond? What happened? What was the response of the one who was offended? Pretty simple preaching today, isn't it? Say, not that hard. Yeah, praise the Lord. Come on, let's praise the Lord. This is God's Word. Praise the Lord for His Word. We're almost done. Here we go. But hang in here the last couple of minutes. Say that with me again. Many waters cannot quench love. Neither can the floods. One more time. Many waters cannot quench love. Neither can the floods. Did what happened quench their love? Did what happened drown their love? No. Okay? And so you have hope, and I have hope. Keep looking. Now look at that. That old Band-Aid's turned into a cross on the heart. I'd like you to keep your attention here with me on the screen as we finish. The greatest is love. This whole story today reminds me of Jesus. That's what the story reminded me of. How many times I've been selfish and stubborn and so stupid. And yet He, when I come back to Him, He forgives me, He restores me, He cleanses me. He says He removes my sin as far as the east is from the west. He does it. He said, if I confess my sin, He's faithful and just to forgive me of my sin and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Is that what the Bible says? This reminds me of Jesus, this whole story. Behold, I stand at your heart's door and knocking. Revelation 3:20 reminds me of the lover at the door. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I'll come into him and I'll sup with him. I have fellowship with you and you with me. Do you see how this reminds me of Jesus? Because I've been selfish and I've been stubborn and a lot of times stupid. That's me. Here's God's Word. And this was manifested the love of God toward us because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is verse 19. Say it with me. We love Him because He first loved us. Amen? What a great thought today. I'm going to tell you something today. The greatest is love. Nothing can quench God's love for you. No matter what you've done, no matter how selfish you've been, stubborn you've been, stupid you've been. Isn't that incredible? Say, man, that's crazy. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Look, for I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Many waters cannot what? Quench love. I don't care about whatever you've done. I'm going to tell you something today. Jesus Christ loves you. That's the way I want to end this message today. Jesus Christ loves you today. But Clark, I've been selfish. I've been stubborn. I've been stupid. And guess what? He's still at that heart's door knocking today, wanting you to open up that door to Him. You hear me today? And I tell you what, He's the lily of the valley, the Bible says. He's sweet. He says, take my yoke upon you. He talks about how His burden is light. Amen. If you'll come to Christ, I'm telling you what, you're going to see that He loves you to pieces today. That's the close of my message today. The greatest is love. Amen. Let's thank the Lord for the love of God this morning. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Good stuff today.